I've enjoyed the time of worship this morning. You have a talented group of musicians. I love that last song. You can sing that song for me, okay? All right, got it. But you know, every morning I get up, and I'm the only one that drinks coffee in the house now. Morgan's gone. Anyway, so I get up in the morning, and I make a cup of coffee, and I have my chair. I have the place where I go to try to wake up and try to hear from God. You know, I have my usual things. I've got my Bible. I've got my journal, because I journal. And then I have little devotion books. So if after I get through reading my scriptures for the day, I read a devotion to kind of get my thoughts thinking about something. Well, I read something the other day, about 3 weeks ago, and it keeps coming back in my thoughts. You know, I live a busy life. If something keeps coming back in my thoughts, it's the Lord talking to me. It's a message I need to hear. And the message was all about, who do you say that I am? And, you know, in this walk, we get so distracted that we forget who he is. You know, we hear a lot of songs about who we are in Christ. But we need to be reminded of who he is. You know, because it's not about survival of ourselves in this life, which is like that sometimes. But it's also about knowing who he is so much to where it affects the way we react to the things that happen in our lives day to day. And so, Lord, help me this morning. Let's pray, okay? Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to deliver a message that could stir in hearts in this place today. I thank you, Father, for the power that's in your word. I thank you, Father, for the power that's in the Holy Spirit, that no matter what I say, you can whisper something in their ear today that's going to give them strength for today, strength for tomorrow. And, Lord, that you would get all the glory. And so I just submit myself to you under your authority, God, to speak what you'd have me to say. And, Lord, for your word to go forth the way it's intended to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yes, I am taking a team to Thailand next summer. Kathy mentioned that. And I'm really excited about this. I've known Renee West since she was in junior high. And I remember she was in my brother-in-law's youth group. And I remember I came out of a Bible church, never been around Spirit-filled, just enough around my father, who was an elder in a Bible church, to tell me that tongues was of the devil. That's about it. And so here I go to this youth group meeting in my brother-in-law's home. And it's one of my first times to be around that kind of an atmosphere. And I see junior high kids on their knees praying. And I hear them, they're praying in the spirit. They're praying for one another. There was a power there that was different. You know, there was something past just the simple Christianity that I witnessed there. So that takes me all the way back to knowing Renee when she was in junior high, and now she's a missionary and has tremendous testimony. And then Autumn Starnes, that we're going to be working with in Chiang Rai, she was in our youth group, and her mother works in the district office, and we've known the family for years. So we're excited to take a team there of about 12 to 14 ladies. And what's interesting is so far the interest I'm getting are mother and daughter combinations. And I'm excited about it. I don't know what God has planned, because you never know what God's going to throw together for a team. But anyway, I appreciate your prayers over that trip and the financial needs that everybody will have to raise to be able to go over there. But I wanted to share a little bit about that. But who do you say that I am? And I'm going to be speaking out of Matthew 16, verse 13 through 20. And here's how it reads. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do they say that the Son of Man is?" Verse 14, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not come against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. So I'm sure you might have heard that scripture before. But let's go back to, who do you say that I am? The disciples had been chosen. They had been called. They'd followed Christ. They heard his teachings. They had seen his miracles. They saw how God multiplied the food to feed 5,000. They saw Jesus walk on water. They saw crowds following, receiving healings and persecutions that they experienced, healing the demon-possessed and the paralytic, and more and more and more. But there came a moment when Jesus asked the disciples the question, who do they say I am? And so the three that they mentioned was John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, and other prophets. And so I'm just telling you that we do leave a legacy. We do leave a legacy. And I'm just telling you, John the Baptist had left a legacy because stories had passed down. You know, what do you know about John the Baptist that he ate locusts and honey and in the wilderness? You know, he preached the Christ to come. He baptized those who believed, but yet proclaimed one greater would follow. And so, and I'm sure other things. So on the status quo, you know, he was up there. John the Baptist was. The next was Elijah, and his name means the Lord is my God. He was a prophet that shared God's message and warning during King Ahab's and Ahaziah. I'm trying to say that correct. He boldly brought people to face to face to choose between following God's or following after Christ, or following after the Heavenly Father. And God demonstrated his power through Elijah with signs. So again, he was one of those that was on the hierarchy of who's who. And the next was Jeremiah, and he was a preaching prophet that condemned idolatry and the greed of priests and prophets. They were aware, so the disciples were aware what other people were saying, who Jesus was. And so these were three outspoken men of God that people seemed to admire, but they didn't know who Christ was. And so then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And it's a question that all of us will end up facing. We faced it sometime, or we will face, but I'll get in that aspect later. So the disciples have been chosen. They left everything behind. They even saw how Jesus reacted to the crowds, whether in healing, how he reacted to persecution. They even went to Jesus' hometown and saw how he was perceived there, you know? And so how people there had difficulty with, because they saw him as a child growing up. I mean, who was he? He was just the son of a carpenter. You know, who am I? My dad was a geologist. Why am I doing this? You know, but the call came on my life. So we all come from somewhere. But anyway, Peter's response was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I also wonder, what were the other disciples thinking? You know, did they have the courage to even try to say? Or had it been revealed to them as well? So it's not written there, but it's just a thought. And then in verse 13, it says, Jesus tells them, this was revealed to you by the Father. And if you'll notice at the beginning of that verse, it says Jesus calls Simon, son of Jonah. You know, he's giving the heritage that Simon had, that this was not taught to you through earthly human people, relationships, family. This was revealed to you by the Heavenly Father. And don't you know that in Scripture where it talks about how those who have not accepted the Lord can't see, can't perceive, you know? But it's God revealed to us when we accept him. So anyway, let's see what else I wrote here. So it wasn't earthly father, it wasn't human or human reasoning, because the well-educated religious of the day, they were proud of their knowledge. Can you turn me up just a little bit? Because I can tell some are having a hard time hearing me. I'm very quiet spoken. I can whistle loud, but I can't talk loud. Sorry. I won't whistle, I promise. Human reasoning can be, can just lead to more anxiety. You know, it's accepting by faith, knowing what the Scripture says, knowing what Jesus says is what matters. Because at times, Peter was rebuked by Jesus because his human reasoning was getting in the way. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. But in contrast, the brilliant thinkers and teachers of the day stumbled over the birth of Jesus, him being raised in a carpenter's home. They had no revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. So then Jesus gives Simon a new name, Rock. Peter means rock. You're a Peter. A rock is something firm. It's a solid. And what Jesus is saying here is that, and if you notice, it says, and on that rock, I will build the church. Jesus, he says, I will build the church. You know, the rock is the foundation that we can stand on. Jesus is the rock, unwavering, never changing, okay? But it's the rock. It's Jesus in us that's going to give us the foundation to stand on inside in our spirit as well as on our feet. And so so Peter's name was changed. I mean, Simon's name, Peter's name was changed. Sorry. I'm having a stumbling block on my mouth here. But on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So the gates of hell, basically the power, the plans of Satan, the demonic realm that comes against the church, against us in our thoughts, and in through people that are around us. But Jesus promises that we're going to have victory over that. We will be victors on it. So let's kind of look at a little bit of Peter's life. If you look in Matthew 8, 23 through 26, we're not going to read it, but I'm just going to tell you, Jesus led his disciples to get on the boat, and he fell asleep. The storm came. The ship was covered with waves. The disciples woke up, "Jesus, save us, we perish." And Jesus says, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose, rebuked the winds and waves of the sea, and there was a great calm. So there was a test right there. Who do you say that I am? O you of little faith. And I'm probably going to get off track by starting to talk about this, but even in that movie, The Overcomer, and what was the other one with Priscilla Schreier? Basically, you come to a place in your life and you want the faith in Christ to arise. You want the revelation knowledge of who God is so that you can face it, speak at it, and confirm it in your heart. I believe God's going to do something. And this is the kind of thing the Lord kind of impressed on me. Who do you say that I am in your crisis? Who are you saying God is right now in the things that matter the most to you, the things that cause you to lose sleep over? And so that's one of the challenges. And see, Jesus was teaching them step by step. And I love Peter as the example, because it didn't happen once. It happened many times. And then there was the day of Pentecost. So let's take a look at Matthew, again, another place in Matthew 14, 13. Jesus sends them out on a boat. See, he's leading them. That's where they're going, and they're going to hit a storm. Isn't that interesting? So he sends them out on a boat to go ahead of him. He went up to the mountain to pray by himself. The storm comes. The wave comes against the boat. Jesus walks on the water, and they saw him, and they were afraid. But Jesus speaks, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you, and I'll walk on the water." And Peter did, but he saw the waves and the winds, and he was afraid he would sink, and he said, "Lord, save us." And then Jesus' response, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And they arrived at the shore safely. So here's another example, and I hope you followed all that. I just kind of gave you the shortcut version of it. But how Peter's trying to be bold in his faith, but then what he sees is a reflection, or is a distraction, distortion, you know. And so then in Matthew 17, Jesus is telling the disciples, "I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. The religious are going to come against me, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again." But Peter's response was, "Never. This shall never happen to you." And what did Jesus have to do to Peter again? You know, he had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." And again, can you underline that in your mind? To have the things of Christ, of God, in mind, and not the things of man. Don't think in the natural of men. Despair. Losing hope. Okay? But have in mind the things of God. In Matthew 17, he actually chose Peter, James, and John at Jesus' transfiguration. And still Peter misunderstood. Even the voice, as he was speaking, you know, let's set up a tent here for Elijah and Jesus, etc. And while he was even speaking, God from the cloud speaks down. And he said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Isn't that interesting? I mean, while Peter has this great idea that he's going to set up a tent for Elijah and Jesus, anyway, God has a sense of humor. He'll just kind of start speaking while we started to speak our own ideas. And then we look at one other place in Matthew 26:19, and it's before the crucifixion. And it's predicted that Peter will deny Christ before the third crow of the rooster. And it happens. And again, Peter is trying to be bold. And I think it's in his nature that he is bold, to be outspoken. But he puts his foot in his mouth sometimes, and fear takes over. And then before Jesus leaves, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem till you've been endued with power." And on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit came down. The fire came down. And I learned this weekend that, you know, anything that's touched by fire molecularly changes when exposed to fire. Even down to the molecules change. And we need that same fire of God to come down on us. I wish that was my idea, because it's pretty profound, you know. But I hope for that transformation power, that encounter with God, to be where it changes me from the inside out, to where I don't look the same. You know, I even prayed that kind of, but when Morgan was in eighth grade and I looked at my hand, I said, "I've got that many years of influence, my daughter living in my home." You know, and I thought, "God, I want her to see that I can have an encounter and really change even now. It didn't just happen years ago when at salvation, but I want that constant molecular change in my life daily." Okay? So so when that power was poured out, what happened on the day of Pentecost? But Peter went out there, and I mean, he gave the sermon of all sermons with boldness that was totally, and God from heaven didn't come down the cloud and say, "No, Peter." No, he was on the mark that day. He was changed from the inside out, from down to the very molecule, and he was different. I've had people tell me before, "Oh, I don't speak in public." I said, "Oh, but you never know when you'll have a day of Pentecost Peter experience, and something will come out of you." And you know, just watching, we watched that movie Overcomer at the women's retreat, and when her son was underwater for over 15 minutes, and it took him forever, it never could revive her, but when she came in the room, in the hospital emergency room, and said, "Holy Spirit, come and do something now. This is my son." And listening to the actual mother's testimony who was there, she said it wasn't 15 minutes of her calling on the name of the Lord, but it was groundwork that had taken place before, where she had been studying, one of Beth Moore's study on about believing God, that she could walk into the room. It had already been shored up in her heart. She could come in the room and speak it. And God answered her prayer. But God, you know, and it's interesting, because when that son later, when he was raised from the dead, basically, and God healed him with no brain damage, no nothing like that, that when he went to school, one of his teachers said, "Why does God heal? Why did God heal you and not everyone?" She said, "I lost my husband to an aneurysm a couple of years prior to that." And, you know, it kind of really stirred him to realize that God, what his mom had always talked to him about, was God has a purpose and he has a plan for your life. And that very purpose and very plan for her life and his life was the testimony that they're being able to give right now about lay the foundation of spending time with God. Lay the foundation of seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, to be changed from the inside out, to be able to speak in the moment, in the time, when you need to speak boldly. And God will demonstrate his power like he's never done before, you know? So somebody told me the other day, he says, "You know, I really appreciate you, Miss Beth. I know you're quiet." Give me a mic and I'll try to talk louder. But I'm just telling you, I don't care if you're soft-spoken like me or if you're loud and boisterous and crazy and life of the party kind of person. God can use you to make a difference in somebody's life, in a difference. So Peter went from being a fisherman in Galilee. He had a brother that God called them both at the same time. They dropped everything and went. You know, his personality was probably gruff and not in the high social status of behavior. That's where he came from. In Luke 5:8, he said he was aware of his sinfulness when he began following Jesus. He was married. I don't know how that worked. We don't hear anything about that, but that he is married. He probably faced fear and experienced storms at sea. He was the first to call Jesus the Son of the Living God, which I told John earlier. He was bold and sometimes wrong. And on and on and on and on. But then he had an encounter with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was changed. And I encourage you guys, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, to begin asking the Lord to fill you. You know, somebody when I was in college explained it to me like this. In the scriptures where it says if an earthly father is good to give you bread when you ask for bread, you know, can the Heavenly Father give you greater gifts and give you a good gift? And so I began to seek in the Lord, and I said, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want it. I want it. And then through praise and then through worship, it was like something touched my lips, and I went from speaking in English to being speaking in tongues. And praying in the Spirit is very, very vital as a believer, and I encourage you to do that. Morning in application, who do we say that Christ is in our lives? And I just want you to ask the Lord to show you, what are some things I'm not even praying over, but I'm anxious? What are some things I'm not even praying over and I'm worried about it? Maybe I am praying about it, but am I believing it? Am I believing that God can answer those prayers? And I want you to say, God, I'm sorry for not trusting you, but I want to trust you more in this situation. I'm asking the Holy Spirit, give me remembrance of scriptures that I can stand on. I'm asking the Lord to give me a hunger for the word so that the more I dig in the word, the more of my foundation is firm. In Jesus' name. Begin to speak truth over our present needs. You know, if you're afraid, fear is a spirit. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and of sound might. Remind yourself of that. When I'm afraid, that is a tormenting spirit. And you need to close the door on it. Speak it out loud. I am not afraid. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. In the name of Jesus. Reliance on the filling of the Holy Spirit to boldly stand and believe under pressure, critical cultural pressures, spiritual warfare. You know, the Holy Spirit can give you discernment when what you are facing is flat a demonic attack. Begin praying over it. Sometimes, I'm just telling you, Kathy's a good friend. I'll call her and I said, I need your prayers. Pray over me. Pray over me. This is nothing but spiritual warfare. I think one of the things she told me that was really profound, she says, you begin speaking the truth, praying the truth, and your emotions will catch up. Does she ever say that here? I'm sure. And she said that to me recently, and I thought, man, that's good. That's good. You just have to begin praying and believing God and saying, God, Lord, help my unbelief, just like the woman did in the New Testament. And because you don't have to have perfect faith. Say that. I don't have to have perfect faith. You know, I just have to step out. I believe you can do it, but help me in every area of doubt. Let's conquer this thing, God, because I know you want me to be an overcomer. And so relying on the Holy Spirit. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit will give you remembrance of things you've read, things you've heard, things you've been taught. And we need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We can seek for a revelation of God, who are you in this situation? Who are you in this situation? The third thing is that we need the power of God at work in our lives to see others and through his eyes, to be moved with compassion. It's not about our personal survival only. It's about being so full of the Holy Spirit we're able to see others. And I'm just telling you, sometimes you have to give what you need. Sometimes you have to give what you need before your cup is full. You know? And I was talking to Kathy recently. I said, you know, sometimes I need encouragement. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone out there. And you have to encourage yourself, Lord. And again, God gives you gifts of people to call and say, okay, let's agree and pray over this. This is a lie from the enemy. I'm just under attack. And it's amazing. Recently I went through something and I called Kathy. And I mean, 2 days, it was a 2-day thing, process. You know, it was brokenness. You know, and brokenness is a good thing, right? And I'm just telling you, it lifted. But it's interesting how when you're going through seasons, it's not an instantaneous, sometimes I say a prayer and everything lines up. Sometimes it's like, ugh, I'm going through that process. I'm going through that crushing. And then God lets you come out of it. And you realize, I've got to be stronger the next time to speak truth over what the enemy is telling me. Got it? All right. So, how are we doing on time? Doing good? All right. But I'd like for you to go ahead and stand with me right now. And I'm going to pray over you. So I just want you to open your, raise your hands to receive from the Lord this morning. Lord, I pray for this church, everyone that's in this room, God, for a fresh revelation of the fullness of Christ, God. Lord, everything that you have for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to examine their hearts. I thank you, Father, that you said you are the light that lights up all the darkness. And God, we pray for our hearts to be laid bare before you, God. In the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, where we believed a lie from the enemy to be afraid, where we believed a lie, God, to not trust in you, to feel like we're stuck right where we are. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help us to repent of those areas, God, and invite you to come into our life situations, God. Lord, I pray for those who we've been praying for salvation, for those who need healing, Father. Lord, restore unto us the mind of Christ concerning the issues, God, to stand on your word, to pray, God, and believe in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for those who are afraid to speak out. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give them a holy boldness, God. I pray that you'd pour out your spirit and fill your people, God, once again, Lord, that they would have a mighty boldness, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Lord, I pray, Father, for vision to be able to see where I am, God, where each one of us are, God. What can we do, Lord, to serve you better, God? What can we do, Father, to reach those that we're around, God, to make an impact on their lives? Lord, help us to be an encourager, God. Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for what you want to do in our lives. And God, we open our hearts and ask you, Father, this morning, pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit, God. Lord, I pray for hope to be restored where there's been discouragement in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for more of your power in our lives, God, that we could make a difference in those who are around us. Lord, we just praise you, God. I praise you, God. From the inside out, God, clean us up, God. Fill us afresh and anew. Lord, we just praise you. We just praise you. We just praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to take time this morning and ask you if you'd come up to the altar and spend some time before the Lord and seek him this morning to have that revelation from God. Can you come this morning? Can you come and spend some time with the Lord?